And if you open your Bibles, we're going to go to Exodus chapter 11, verse 1. In Exodus 11, verse 1, it says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Yet will I bring one plague more upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt. Afterwards he will let you go hence. When he shall let you go, he shall surely thrust you out hence altogether." I'm going to go ahead and ask Brother Joe Rakowski to pray for me. Amen. Amen. And I'm in chapter 11 of Exodus, verse 1. Well, in this story, a lot of people know the story of Moses in Egypt. And when I read this story, I started thinking, I said, this is a story of Pharaoh, Moses, and God. Because honestly, that's what all is about. And it's God talking to Moses and telling Moses about going into Egypt and talking to Pharaoh about putting plagues. And I started reading of all these plagues, and there was 11 plagues that Moses told Pharaoh. And all these plagues, and I was reading about all that, and they all have one thing in common. And then over in chapter, starting for the first plague was turning the serpent, or the rods into the serpents, and then the second one was turning the water into blood, and then the third one was the frogs, and then the lice, and then the swarms of flies, and killing of the cattle, and the boils on man, and all the plagues at once was number 8, and then 9, the locusts in the land, and 10, the darkness. In every one of these plagues, there was one thing in common that I noticed, and that was, I'm going to go over here in chapter 10, and look down in verse 27. This was the 10th plague. It says, "But God hardened Pharaoh's heart." And I was reading about this, and I'm like, man, how many times have we gotten our heart hardened over stupid things that we go through? And when I have a title of this message is Just One More. And how many plagues or how many problems does God have to get you to go through or to put you through to get a hold of your heart? Amen. And I was looking at all this. I was praying about it, and it says, and I was thinking about one thing that I noticed about Christians is the reason his heart got hardened is because he thought too highly of himself.
Right, amen.
And us as Christians, we have a sin or something, or God's trying to get a hold of us, but yet when he puts us through something, and it could be death, it could be financial problems, it could be just many different things, but instead of turning to God and giving it to the Lord, we end up hardening our hearts. And we don't give in to the Lord, and that's what causes us to get through these problems in our lives. Because we harden our hearts in these things. And the reason I got this message, and I hate using myself as an illustration, I really do, but back last year when we were going through the youth rally, I mean, this church knows me. They know that I had so many chances in my life to do things. And I kept on hardening my heart towards things. I kept on pushing God away. And I was chasing after things that I really had no business chasing after. And I started thinking about this, and God gave me one more chance. Because I remember sitting in that service as Jason Garner was preaching. He preached on baggage in your life. And God sat there, and came and sat down next to me and goes, "This is your last time." Because it comes to a point when we turn away from God, God's trying to get us back, that he's just going to give up. Or he won't give up on us. I'm sorry for saying that. He just won't bother us anymore. Because we've hardened our heart too hard towards the words of God that it's not going to do anything. It's going to take a tragedy to get you back. So that's what I'm trying to get through you guys. It says one more plague he might put you through. And what's it going to take to get you back to God? What's it going to take to get you to do right?
Amen.
It took a lot for me to get back here. A lot of sacrifices. A lot of things I wish I didn't have to go through. What's it going to take for you to get back to God? But number 11 of the plagues, death to the firstborn. God had to take something from Pharaoh for him to keep his heart from getting hardened. What's God got to take from you? He's got to take a family member, your house, your car, your job. I'm trying to just get it through your heads that, hey, we've all went through something. God got us all here through something, but let's not forget about it. For my second point, let's go over to Judges. Judges chapter 7. That was one more time. That one was one more time in Judges chapter 7. This was one more sin. And I know this doesn't have to do with sin, but in this story it talks about Gideon. And Gideon, he was a warrior. And I really like this story. I really do. And it talks about Gideon, and it says in chapter 7, verse 2, "And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hands hath saved me." And the two words I want to focus on in too many. Now, in this story, Gideon's going against the Midianites. Now, they had 32,000 soldiers. Now, I'll be honest with you, if I had 32,000 men behind me, I'll do whatever, because I'm not scared. I got 32,000 soldiers. Sorry, 32,000 soldiers. But God said it's too many. And it goes through, and I'm just going to bring this in a little bit. So God tells them about, go talk to the men about them being fearful. Let them go home. 22,000 men ended up going home. 22,000. I don't know about you, if I'm going into the war and 22,000 men end up turning their back, I'm going to probably turn my tail and run because I'll be scared. 22,000 of my men walk away. But then here in verse 4, God says again, there's too many people. So then he tells them to go down to the water. And whoever gets down on their hands and knees and licks the water like a dog, send them home. They said there's only 300 men out of 32,000 that remained. And I started reading that story about, I had to get rid of some things for God to use me. And one of my biggest things was my job and money. And I'll be honest with you, I got laid off. I got laid off because of the job was coming to an end, but the main reason I got laid off because I told my work I wasn't going to work that much anymore. I didn't want to be a part of that anymore. And that's what I'm trying to get back to you guys is, hey, if you want to do something for God, there's some things you got to give up. There's just one more sin that God wants from you. There's one more thing that God wants from you, and then maybe he'll bless you. But we are too stubborn. We're too stubborn and too, can't remember the word, self-centered, that we think that God needs every bit of us. Do we think that God needs our money? You think that God needs the way we talk and the way we are proper and all? God don't want none of that. God wants you to get rid of it, to take everything away and use you from scratch. Because he wants to mold you in the way he wants you. Amen. Not in the way you think he wants you. Yep. Not in the way you think that you need to be. Amen. God needs, there's things, there's sports, there's money, there's cars, there's acting, there's music. My dad, Pastor Ryman, he had to get rid of cars. He was thinking, oh, I can run around and race around for Jesus, put Jesus on the side. God didn't want that from him. God wanted something different. He had to get rid of those things. I'm just saying, what is that one thing in your life that's keeping you from going on for God? Amen. Just one more sin that you might have to give up. One more thing you might have to give up. What is it? Now we're going to go over to Judges chapter 16. And this is this right here is one more chance. Man, I went through this earlier today and I had a lot more time under my belt. I'm a little nervous up here this evening. In chapter 16, it's talking about Samson and Delilah. And everybody heard the story of Samson and Delilah, where Samson was some great warrior and he fought off the Philistines time and time again. And God gave him the strength and God gave him everything he needed to get through those battles. But here's the problem with us Christians is that we might go through those things, but we get weak, and one time we fall out. That one time we fall out. And here in chapter 16, verse 6, and Delilah said unto Samson, tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, and wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict thee. And Samson said unto her, if they bind me with seven green withs, that were never dried, then shall I be weak and be as any other man. And then he goes down in verse 11. He's talking about being tied up with ropes that never been occupied. You play with sin, it's going to get you one way or another. And I know, growing up in church, you play with sin. And as a Christian, young people, this is mainly towards you guys. Because you play with sin, it'll get you. I was one of those teenagers, one of those young people one time. And I played with that sin. I was like, you know what? Hey, it's not going to get me. I know better. It's not going to get me. We think it too highly of ourselves. When you sit in the, as you sit here and go through this, in verse 17, that he told her all his heart and said unto her, there hath not come a razor upon mine head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. You know, you play with sin too long, you're going to end up getting in a weak spot. Amen. And that weak spot, you're going to end up revealing some things, and the devil's going to take that little thing, and he's going to run with it. Right, and then you're going to end up in a spot where you never thought you were going to be. Yep. Amen. Hey, teenagers, I'm trying to let you know that, hey, don't play with that sin. Don't give in to it. You play with it, that's where you're going to have a problem. And over in this scripture, it says that Delilah put him to sleep, made him sleep, and they shaved his head. You sleep on sin, that's where it's going to get you. That's where it's going to destroy you. You're going to sit there and you're going to go and have a drink with your friends, or you're going to take a smoke, and you're going to be like, it's okay, I got this. And then you're going to do it again and again and again. And then sooner or later, it's got you. Sooner or later, you're going to be somewhere you never thought you were going to be.
Yeah. Amen.
And this scripture is talking about how what they did with Samson, they plucked his eyes out. They put him in a prison, the grind, the grains in the prison. People to sit there and yell and make fun of him, mock him. There's consequences of your sin. I can tell you time and time again. Yeah. Sunday night, laying in bed, wondering what happened here at church. thinking of all the good times that I had. I believe Samson was in that prison as he was grinding those grains, sitting there thinking about, man, I remember that time when the power of God was on me. I remember that time that God gave me the strength to whoop them Philistines with that jawbone of an ass. Your mind will start going back as you're pushing around your sin in a circle over and over and over and over. Because that's all you're going to do when you're backslidden. Just keep going around and around and around and around.
Yeah.
Just grinding the same sins that you're already doing. Hey, but let me tell you something. Hey, Brother Eric, God gave you a second chance. God gave you a second chance. If you look over in verse 28, it says, and Samson called upon the Lord. Whew. I don't know what it does for you, but that does something for me. Amen. I remember the day when I called upon the Lord and he gave me a second chance. Another thing with that, with him being in prison, it talks about they made a sport of Samson. You sit there and you go out and you witness to your friends, and then you end up falling around with them, you just became a sport.
Right.
You became a sport to them. And they're going to sit there and look at you and laugh and make fun of you and mock you and say, I remember when he used to be one of those goody two-shoes. Now look at him.
Right. Yeah.
You just become a sport.
Yep.
But man, like I said, Samson called upon the Lord and said, oh, Lord God, remember me. Don't you thank God for the second chances for him to remember you and know exactly who you are?
Yeah.
Hey, them friends out there, they won't be there when you fall. They won't be there to help you pick you up.
Amen.
But God remembers who you are.
Yeah.
God knows who you are.
Amen.
And God will be the one to help you up. In that story, he ends up getting his strength back. He ends up defeating the Philistines that one last time. God gave me my second chance, and I now, hey, God gives you a second chance, that means you can do something for him.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean you have to sit there in church and be, oh, woe is me, I can't do this, I can't do that, I've done this and I've done that. Hey, God don't care about the things you've done. He cares about the things you're going to do.
Yeah.
He doesn't care about where you come from.
Yeah.
God gave me my second chance. I got to lead one of my friends to the Lord. Hey, can you just think about the things God can do for you? If you just give in to him. Number one, one more time. Number two, one more sin. Number three, one more chance. What are you going to do with that? Young people, you guys are about to go to camp. Why don't you get things right tonight?
Amen.
So you can enjoy camp? Think about the friends you can get back when, or get in church when you get back. I never thought that God would give me a second chance to be up here. And Lord bless me with that.
Amen.
And he can bless you too.
Yep.
What will it take? What will it take to get you right? And why won't you give up that sin? And like I said, you can give you a second chance. Let's go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thanks for this day, Lord. Thank you for the time you've given me to come up here and preach, Lord. Lord, thank you for just using me, God. Lord, I said what you wanted me to say. Thank you for your mercy and your grace, Lord. Thank you for the second chance you've given me. Ooh, thank you, Lord. Thank you for everything you've done. God, I pray you use this message and you get a hold of these teenagers. God, just pray, protect them, watch over them. In Jesus' name, amen.